May it please the court and counsel, my name is Jason Wood. I represent the appellant, Luis Agustin Vasquez. He alleged essentially two claims that are at issue on appeal here. Discriminatory termination based upon race and retaliatory termination based upon Mr. Vasquez's reports of racial harassment by his supervisor, Jeff Baird. I'm going to start in reverse order from the briefing with the retaliation claim. That may be, at least in our mind, one of the most obvious errors of the district court. There has been no dispute below or on appeal that I can tell that the City of Idaho Falls concedes a prima facie case has been established. The question that was raised and on appeal is the district court said, beyond the prima facie case, there's no direct evidence of retaliation and there's no circumstantial evidence of retaliation, and we disagree. We believe that the evidence of retaliation is the proximity in time from the last reported and complained of racial harassment, which occurred in September of 2015. In November 2015, the city fired Mr. Vasquez. The Ninth Circuit, we believe, has made it clear that evidence based on timing can be sufficient to let the issue go to the jury, even in the face of alternative proffered reasons by the defendant. And indeed, in the Kozalter case, the Ninth Circuit indicated that 3 to 8 months is easily within a time range that can support an inference of retaliation.
And we believe the judge did say that it was sufficiently retaliation was sufficiently pled, but was it really? That's an issue on appeal.
That was an issue raised on appeal. I think certainly as a practical matter, the issue went well beyond the pleading stage and into past.
But what were the facts in the pleading stage?
The facts alleged in the pleading stage were that essentially, as I've alleged, that Mr. Vasquez was subjected to racial harassment over the course of his
Well, I think the facts, as I read in the complaint, is the city fired him because of race and in retaliation for complaints about protesting of racial harassment. That's what was alleged. Those aren't facts. That's really a legal conclusion.
Well, I can go through the allegations of the complaint. They're fairly detailed, and I think we alleged them in sufficient fashion. But there was no motion to dismiss for failure to plead them properly. That issue was raised on summary judgment when those issues had been narrowed down, focused with discovery and.
Did you complain about it?
Complain.
In your reply on the motion for summary judgment?
Complain about
their having raised it for the first time.
Yes, I believe in our argument and in reply, we didn't argue that they've waived it necessarily. Our argument was that we're past that point procedurally, that we're past the point of Rule 12b and we're now to a Rule 56 motion.
For sure. Help me understand why there is enough evidence to go to trial on Title VII with respect to race discrimination and then to retaliation. Would you just review the evidence for me?
Because yes, Your Honor.
The way I see the case from the other side is that the employer gets these reports of sexual harassment and it decides that they're valid and it fires them. And it's not really disputing that Mr. Baird was a pretty despicable racist, but they're saying there's very little evidence that Baird had anything to do with this. It's not really disputing that the complaints to Martin had anything. It's saying that there's very little evidence that the complaint to Martin had anything to do with it. They're just saying, listen, we found he was a sexual harasser. That gives us plenty of reason to fire him, and we did. So tell me the evidence that supports your version of the case.
I'll approach it initially from a pretext case analysis, and we have presented substantial evidence we believe to undermine the sexual harassment as a basis, namely that it did not occur.
But that really doesn't get you anywhere, does it? That whether it occurred or not isn't the issue. The issue is whether the city had evidence from which it could have reasonably concluded that it occurred when you're dealing with pretext. Isn't that correct?
Well, my reading of the what we believe is the kind of the controlling Supreme Court case law in this case, which we believe is Reeves versus Sanderson Plumbing, is that there that that whether or not there is sufficient evidence to establish that that the reasons given were false by the employer, and we've established that we believe that we've undermined that and shown that there are very good reasons under Rule 56 when the evidence is reviewed in a light most favorable to the plaintiff that it was false. Now we have a question here, and as
and
to
then, go ahead. I'm waiting for the facts now.
Okay.
As to why it was false, and you're talking about indirect, not direct evidence.
Correct. Right now I'm focusing on the indirect evidence. And as I've indicated, Tanisha Coons, who is the alleged victim, was a participant and initiated, in fact, the sexual banter of which she later complained against Mr. Vasquez. She didn't report any of these things which allegedly occurred over a long period of time, not only to the employer, which is understandable, not to sometimes it being difficult to report those things, but also even to her closest friend and roommate, Whitney Manzanares. She gave an affidavit in which she indicated this was something she had never mentioned before. And Whitney worked for the city as well as being Tanisha's roommate and close friend. There are two other alleged witnesses in this case, Mr. Sergio Soto, and we've undermined the reasons, you know, the bases. He lied on record, forged my client's signature on an employment document in order to return to work after DUI. He said, indicated that he wanted my client's job, so he had an axe to grind. The other individual was a nephew of
Mr. Baird.
Yes, of Mr. Baird, a nephew, and which was against the city's anti-nepotism policies.
And did the nephew say that he'd been subjected to this stuff, or merely that he had been a witness to it?
That he had been a witness. And you know, all of those things, the city raises kind of a Me Too movement argument, saying that this is not the kind of thing that we should consider.
How much investigation did the city do into these allegations of sexual harassment, and how much investigation should they have done?
Well, I don't think they did all that much. I mean, what they did is they took these statements, which, by the way, Brent Martin, who was a decision maker in the case, said he received these statements and the allegations, I believe it was November 6th of 2015, which is a Sunday. It was undisputed that was a Sunday, and as we all know, government offices are not open on Sunday. That goes to the issue of the mendacity behind the falsity of the decision-making process. But certainly they should at least have interviewed my client and gotten his story.
Well, okay, he received the complaints on Sunday, and you were about to tell me when he got fired, but then you got distracted.
Yes, it was within 2 weeks later. I think that was the 6th when the report came in, and by the 15th or 16th, he was terminated.
And Mr. Martin denies that he ever got any complaints from your client about Baird. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, that I think he did say that, which is very surprising. We've
got a conflict in the evidence on that point.
Yes, we do.
So if your client's to be believed, Mr. Martin is not necessarily a credible witness.
That's correct, Your Honor. Under Rule 56, we believe that evidence should be reviewed in a light most favorable to my client.
I know you've argued this, but I'm just wondering if you are going to assert this on appeal, that Mr. Powell's affidavit is not sufficient enough, which you would be using for the purpose of establishing direct evidence of discrimination, that it doesn't meet the requirements of 56C4, which requires facts?
Yes, Your Honor, and we did raise that issue on appeal. It's a secondary issue. Only a portion of Darius Powell's affidavit was stricken, and frankly, I don't think it either way it supports the district court's decision whether he properly struck it or not.
But in terms of your burden for direct evidence, you really need that, don't you?
Yes, but I believe
establish the direct evidence, and if you don't have that, what else do you have for direct evidence of discrimination?
Well, we have relied upon the Vance line of cases in support of the direct evidence.
And that's the hostile work environment, though.
That is the context in which that line of cases arises. Whether or not the analysis of the Vance court is limited to a sexual harassment as opposed to an overall discrimination claim is not an issue that was raised by the city, and it wasn't addressed by the district court. Everyone pretty much assumed that Vance applied. And
well, then, if Vance applies, though, and that's hostile work environment, that's you don't have that here, although perhaps you're going to argue that you do, even though it wasn't alleged. You're not claiming that there is vicarious liability, are you?
We are claiming that the discriminatory animus of Mr. Baird is imputed to the city by virtue of Mr. Baird being a supervisor within the meaning of Vance and Farragher and Ellerth in those line of cases. He clearly, under the city's own written policies, had the authority to make tangible employment decisions with regard to Mr. Vasquez, including up to and including firing, as long as that receives approval.
But Baird, at the time of the firing, was not then employed. He was out on leave for some, I forget now the reason.
I believe the court is referring to, yes, that is the allegation. And the circumstances in which that arose are...
Actually, as to why you never got your hands on Baird and get a deposition from him.
Well, it arose in unusual circumstances. He was disclosed as a managerial level employee of the city of Idaho Falls. We originally had planned to depose him. Mr. Baird. We never did depose him.
Yeah, I know you didn't. Trying to figure out why.
Well, I can't answer that with the time that I've got.
Because it's a long story, or you can't remember?
Because it's a long story. Because it's a long story. In fact, I don't believe I've reserved I'd like to reserve 2 minutes on rebuttal. On the pretext case, though, I would like to point out, we have identified several other items of evidence that establish pretext in this case, aside from the Villarmo analysis that the district court relied upon. In addition to proof showing that the allegation of sexual harassment was false, the record is replete with other examples of pretext. They didn't follow their own disciplinary policy with regard to Mr. Vasquez.
That's progressive discipline?
Correct, Your Honor. They didn't follow that progressive disciplinary policy. They jumped right to termination, whereas despite the several allegations against Mr. Baird that my client made of racial harassment, they went to step one and stopped. And so they didn't follow their own policy.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to make sure. And it was Martin who fired him?
Well, Martin was on the panel. They did what I call basically a laundering panel. So they make these decisions, they get recommendations, they make decisions, and they fire somebody, and then they use that as in order to essentially launder any discriminatory intent. Martin was on that. There's no evidence that he actually committed acts of discrimination, but he was aware of them, and he was the one to whom my client complained about Baird.
So who else was on the panel with Martin when the decision was made?
Greg Weitzel, who was the superintendent, and I also believe the mayor of Idaho Falls.
Okay. If you'd like to reserve about a minute and a half, you're free to do
yes,
that.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that.
May it please the court and counsel. We are asking this court to affirm the district court's decision granting summary judgment. Maybe if I can pick up with a couple of points that we were just discussing. First, it may help to understand the hierarchy at the City of Idaho Falls and the Parks and Rec Department. If we're unclear on that, we have various department heads. One of them is Greg Weitzel. He's the department head over Parks and Rec. Below him, there are a few division directors. One of them is Brent Martin, who's over cemeteries. Then below Brent Martin, we have Jeff Baird. Below Jeff Baird, we had Mr. Vasquez, and then he supervised some seasonal employees. So on this issue that you raised, Judge Silver, with regard to Vance and whether or not it applies, in this case, I do not believe that it applies. And the reason is we have, in Vance, the court specifically said that You know, the determination, the Supreme Court said the determination of whether or not an employee is a supervisor is, can they make a tangible employment action? And a tangible employment action is defined as hiring or firing.
Well, you know, I looked at the record on this, though, and as counsel has said, there are the personnel records. And they are the personnel records on discipline and performance improvement guide. Wow. And it says that the supervisor, and that would be, who would that be, Mr. Baird, could have fired him, even though the record indicates, I think unequivocally, that specifically he did not. But I think the argument made by the plaintiff is that because of that, there's at least an inference that he was involved. And taking that into account with the fact that there is certainly sufficient evidence to get to the jury, undisputed evidence that this had occurred over a, it's not undisputed, that but that Mr. Baird had been had engaged in racial remarks and created an environment. Why isn't that enough to establish that he could have, or there's enough to establish that he was directly involved with the firing?
Let's break that down into two parts. First, on the policy manual, there are two spots in this record that you've got to look to understand the City of Idaho Falls policy. The first is at SER 121, and that is the actual City of Idaho Falls personnel policy. And what it says, it's very clear in who may terminate an employee. And it says, regular employees may be terminated only by a division director or by the mayor. The division director in this case is Brent Martin. He's a step above Jeff Baird.
So that's inconsistent with the one that I read and found in the file that says, discipline and performance improvement guide that a supervisor can fire.
Well, so that the City of Idaho Falls also did produce the discipline and performance improvement guide. It's a separate pamphlet that was distributed to supervisors to help them understand how to implement their progressive discipline policy. But in that policy, in that improvement guide, if you look at it specifically, it says that they can recommend, that a supervisor can recommend certain actions that be taken. It talks about steps 1 through 3. And then it says, meets performance standards under step 3, or demotion, suspension, termination. That has to be read in terms of the overall City of Idaho Falls policy, which says that if you're going to recommend termination, that has to be done by the division director, which would have been Brent Martin. And so it's removing that final decision-making authority from the supervisors at Jeff Baird and at Vasquez's level, and it is moving that up the chain to the division director or the mayor.
Okay.
And that's the break.
Can I ask you a question then? Let's turn from the evidence of direct evidence of discrimination to the indirect evidence of discrimination. And as I look at it, of course, is there a genuine issue of material fact? And you take a look at what is undisputed. As I see, one undisputed fact is that there was no progressive discipline in this case. And an undisputed fact is that Mr. Baird was never, he was never disciplined. Why isn't that enough to establish pretext?
It's not enough because Jeff Baird was not involved in the decision to terminate Vasquez.
No, but in terms of pretext, you have Mr. Baird, who was accused of discriminatory conduct, and he received no discipline, and in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, and you have the plaintiff who was immediately disciplined. Why isn't that some at least circumstantial evidence of pretext?
Again, I think it gets back to the allegation that Mr. Vasquez is making is that when you got to back up, remember, Tanisha Coons came in and made the report against Mr. Vasquez. What Brent Martin says is the first time I heard Mr. Vasquez complain about it was when we confronted him about the sexual harassment.
But what do you say when you say complain about it? What's your reference? I mean, what's it refer to?
When complained about the racial comments. If you look at Brent Martin's affidavit, he says the first time Vasquez ever told me that Jeff Baird had been making racial comments was when I confronted him about the...
But isn't that irrelevant on summary judgment, that we have to look at the evidence in the light most favorable to the non-moving party, and the non-moving party says that I made multiple complaints to Mr. Martin, so Mr. Martin's denial doesn't go to the summary judgment standard, does it, with regard to pretext?
Sure. So let's assume that we have this fact in the record that Vasquez says, Jeff Barrett has made comments about me.
And I complained about it and nothing was done.
Right. Okay. So you still have to have a link between the nothing was done and the decision to terminate or to retaliate against Mr. Vasquez.
But that has to go to the jury. When you have, it's a credibility issue, isn't it, where you have disputed issues of fact that are relevant or material.
Well, not
necessarily. You have Mr. Vasquez saying that I made these complaints, and actually 2 months before he was terminated, he said he made these complaints. Mr. Martin says, no, it never happened. The jury's got to decide that, right? It's a disputed issue of fact. Credibility.
It would be if that fact, if Jeff Baird was the one who made the decision to take some action against Vasquez.
Yeah, but here we have, not only does Vasquez say, I complained to Martin, nothing was done about it, he also says, and Martin lied about it, because he says, I told Martin many times, several times before, Martin says the first time I heard about it was X. So Vasquez, if we believe Vasquez, he complained to Martin, Martin did nothing, and then Martin lied. And now Martin is one of the people responsible for firing him.
Then if you add to that, too, there's portions of Mr. Powell's affidavit that are not admissible, but there are some facts which are admissible. And he was the one, purportedly, I issue a fact, that told Mr. Vasquez to keep a record, right, about the discriminatory comments. Why isn't that enough to get to the jury on this?
Well, I don't know that keeping a record, telling someone to keep a record, would have any effect on what the supervisors know. The supervisors actually in place were Brent Martin and Jeff Baird, what they would know about what was happening. So,
what happened to those records? They admit that there were records because Mr. Vasquez tape-recorded a conversation with Mr. Martin, and he said there were records, but we don't know where those records are.
Well, he says there were records, but during his deposition, we have notebooks that we presented to him, and when you read his deposition, you can see that.
Is that in the record somewhere?
Yeah,
you
can
see. There were notebooks that were presented to Mr. Vasquez? I might have missed something. I thought those records were never turned over to him.
Well, he says that he had additional notebooks, so there is a notebook that he kept notes in that was discussed in detail at his deposition, and portions of it were read back to him. In fact, when you look at the record at the portion where it talks about Art Rodriguez, I quote back to Mr. Vasquez one of the quotes out of his notebook. Now, he claims he had other notebooks. We didn't have those. We don't know where those are at.
The notebook at the time you were reading to him out of the notebook at the deposition, was it in your possession or his?
Both parties have it.
Both parties have
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Counsel, didn't the city originally tell Mr. Vasquez that one of the reasons he was being fired was because he improperly fired, I guess it's Mr. Alvarez?
Yes.
And isn't there evidence in the record that Mr. Alvarez resigned?
There is.
And so why isn't that evidence of pretext?
Not necessarily the case, though, because if you look at the record, and I could find that for you, but when I confronted Mr. Vasquez about that, the note that he had made in his journal was, I let him go because he was sitting around all day. I mean, so from the City of Idaho Falls' perspective, again, that gets back to their policy. Their policy requires that a division director be involved with the termination. And presumably, if an employee is going to resign, Jeff Baird should have told the division director that as well.
Firing and resigning are different, and letting go may very well be him saying to Alvarez, I'm kind of making this up, but I think it's permissible inference from what the evidence we've got, is that he said, you know, you're a lazy dog, and... if you don't resign, you may be in trouble, and he resigns. So I let him go. I mean, if he resigned, he resigned. It may be, of course, many resignations are sort of a nice way of getting fired, but it sounds as though he didn't actually fire him. He might have said something that led him to resign.
Sure. And I'm not sure that the facts in this record are fleshed out enough to know what the answer is, other than what Vasquez said about it.
But the city said, one of the reasons we're firing you is because you improperly fired Alvarez, correct?
Correct. That was listed.
And there's nothing in the record that shows that Mr. Alvarez was actually terminated, correct?
Yes, there is. It's Mr. Vasquez's own statement.
But the statement being, I let him go?
Yes.
Well, you just heard me on that.
Sure. But at the same time, he's no longer there, and we have Vasquez, his supervisor, saying, I let him go.
Aren't you really arguing that to the jury instead of as established as a matter of law? Isn't that an issue of fact?
Not necessarily. I think if we back up and look at the context in which the city had this allegation, the city had an allegation of sexual harassment, okay? When the city has the allegation of sexual harassment, they are investigating that allegation. Mr. Vasquez comes in and says, well, comments have been made about my race over time. Let's look at what the actual record has from Mr. Vasquez on that. I think that that's important for this court. If you look at SER 42, when I asked him about the timing of the alleged comments that he's saying to Mr. Martin, I asked him, in relation to the time frame that your father passed, does that help you remember when the comments were made? I don't exactly know. Do you know if you remember it was while he was still alive? Yes. So it was, his father died in September of 15. Do you remember if it was months prior? He said, I want to say maybe months. At best, we have Mr. Vasquez coming in on November 13th at his hearing that he was given. And at his hearing, he comes in and says, well, no, I've been discriminated against on the basis of race. Jeff Baird made comments about my race, about my father. When he tries to pin that down, he thinks that that was months before September of 15. And so the only argument that that would have any bearing would be on the nexus in time. Is there a sufficient nexus in time to suggest that that's a pretext? And if we look at some of the cases that this court, some of the cases we've cited on the nexus in time, I want to point to a couple of those.
You agree that it was 2 months, he says, 2 months prior.
No, I don't think it was 2 months prior. By his own testimony, he said he recalled it being months prior to September of 15.
But aren't there other places in the record where he testified, where Mr. Vasquez testified that he reported the racial harassment in 2010, 2014, and 2015?
Yes. So what I'm saying is that he claims to have made these reports months or years earlier, and time goes on. I don't think that that's enough of a nexus in time for this court to say there is a sufficient pretext.
The Kuzalter case was mentioned. You don't like the Kuzalter case, but I do. I wrote it. That says if it's very close in time, that may help. But sometimes, you know, there's an old mafia saying revenge is best when served cold. Some people wait around.
So I think that when this court looks at those facts, I think that the district court properly analyzed those things. And when the district court is looking at it, the district court is relying on a couple of things. First, you've got to look at the decision makers that are in place making this decision. How can you say that it was Jeff Baird that was retaliating or making the decision if Jeff Baird wasn't involved in the decision?
Maybe you know the answer. Why don't we have anything from Jeff Baird in this record?
Because the plaintiffs never deposed him.
And were you unwilling to provide any address or willing to?
Absolutely not. Available? Absolutely not. The plaintiff knew who he was. It was his immediate supervisor. At the time that the plaintiff was...
Did they know where he was?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe I don't want to get the long story, but okay.
He was terminated from the city of Idaho Falls shortly after Mr. Vasquez. He was under investigation for improper use of computers at the time. He was not involved in the decision. So the only way that you can say that there was a pretext, some retaliatory animus, is if Jeff Baird was involved in that decision-making process. And he wasn't. The record is completely clear that he was not. In fact, he was out on leave at the time. And when you look at the Vance case, you can't even make the vicarious liability argument because Jeff Baird wasn't a supervisor with the authority to make that decision. Okay. Anyway, we'd request that the court affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just briefly, Your Honor, thank you. By the way, Judge Fletcher, with regard to Baird, we didn't depose him, but he was disclosed as as a managerial level by the city with the name and address of their attorneys. That never changed. They never supplemented that. They later on said, oh, he, after it was too late for us to respond, they said, oh, he wasn't really a supervisor. We removed his supervisory capacity, but they did that after discovery. They did it after their opposition to the motion for summary judgment. And so we didn't have an opportunity to respond to that.
Do you have any case applying Vance, and Vance was a later case, of course, than the other cases we have on direct evidence of discrimination. Do you have any evidence applying Vance to establish direct evidence of discrimination? Because Baird here was not involved in the decision.
I wanted
at least, specifically or factually.
That is a very good question, and I had the same question. I did find a couple of district court cases. I didn't find a circuit level court level cases. It's among those that I cited in my brief on the direct evidence, those district court cases where the court applied that vicarious liability standard from Vance in a straight discrimination case as opposed to a sexual harassment case. But other than that, I'm not aware of any other context. I would also point out Art Alvarez. I would direct the court's attention to ER 183, where the city, in its personnel action with regard to Art Alvarez, says that he found a different job. Spoliation. We have the video in which Brent Martin, my client, says to Brent Martin, I have these notebooks, and they contain these allegations in there. And Martin goes into the office, finds them, comes back and says, okay, but we need to go through them and make sure there's nothing in there that the city needs to keep. And then within a couple of months, they disappear.
Well, let me ask you, though, what counsel said, that in the deposition, of Mr. Vasquez, that he had some kind of a notebook there, but it wasn't, did they eventually turn over the notebook?
They handed over one notebook. If you look in the record, and I don't have the citation, but in our briefing, he's got like three or four that he kept. And we have a declaration from his wife who would come to his office and he would show her what was in those notebooks. She testified that they existed as well.
He claimed in the deposition, I didn't receive all the notebooks. Did he say that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and that citation is in the record.
Okay, you're over time.
All right.
Sum up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank both sides for their arguments. Vasquez versus City of Idaho Falls now submitted for decision.